Alright, let's get into it. In this lesson, we're stretching a jungle sub for old school rave pressure in Ableton Live 12, and this is one of those moves that sounds simple on paper, but once you get it right, the whole track starts to feel bigger, deeper, and way more dangerous in the mix. The basic idea is this: instead of letting your sub just punch and disappear, we're going to make it feel like it stretches out, leans across the bar, and hangs in the air with that classic jungle tension. Not just low end, not just a bass note, more like a pressure wave. And the big thing to remember right away is this: we're not trying to make the bass huge by brute force. We're trying to create the illusion of a longer note, while keeping the fundamental clean, mono, and solid enough to survive on a proper sound system. So let's start with a simple source. Open up a MIDI track and load either Simpler or Waveeatable. If you're working from a sub sample, Simpler is perfect. If you want to build the tone from scratch, Waveeatable is great too. Keep it basic. Sine or triangle is usually the move here. You want something that already sounds strong and mono before you start stretching or processing anything. If you're using Waveeatable, start with a sine or triangle style patch and keep the filter low, somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz. Fast attack, short to medium release. Nothing flashy yet. If it's a sample in Simpler, keep it tight and clean, and don't add unnecessary top end. The goal is a bass source that feels usable straight away. Now write a short phrase. Don't make it long and don't overcomplicate it. In jungle and old school rave influence D&B, space is part of the groove. A one bar or two bar bass phrase with just a few notes is usually enough. Think root note, maybe a reply note, maybe a small octave jump, maybe a darker interval like a fifth or a minor movement. The point is to make it feel deliberate, rude, but controlled, like it's saying something and leaving space for the drums to answer back. A really useful mindset here is to think in call and response. Let the first note stretch out, then give the listener a little reply on the offbeat, or a pitch move in the second bar. Don't try to fill every gap. In drum and bass, the break needs room to breathe, and the bass is part of that conversation, not a separate speech happening over the top. Once the phrase is working in MIDI, it's time for the core trick. Turn it into audio and stretch the tail. Freeze the track, then flatten it or resample it onto a new audio track if you want a bit more freedom. This is where the note length illusion starts to happen. You're no longer just holding a MIDI note. You're shaping a pressure tail that can be stretched, duplicated, and edited like audio. Be careful with warping here. Pure sub doesn't always love extreme time stretching, so don't go wild on it. If the material is very clean and sub-heavy, subtle warp settings are safer. If it's got more tone and character, you can experiment more. But in general, keep the stretch musical, not obvious. A really effective approach is to duplicate the bass hit. Keep one version as the original transient, and stretch the other version so it sustains longer across the bar. Then blend the stretched version underneath. That gives you the old-school feeling of a note opening up and hanging there, while the original attack keeps the groove defined. Now we split the bass into two layers. One layer is the sub. This is the foundation. The other layer is the character layer. This is where the grit, harmonics, and movement live. On the sub layer, keep it dead simple. Use EQ 8 to low pass it, somewhere around 120 Hz or so, and use utility to collapse the width to zero. Make it mono. No drama. No stereo tricks down there. Just a clean low end that knows its job. On the character layer, high pass it so it doesn't fight the sub, usually somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz depending on the source. Then add something like saturator, roar, or even drum bus if you want more bite and density. This layer is what helps the bass speak on smaller speakers, while the sub carries the weight in the club. That split is really important. A lot of people try to make one bass sound do everything, and that's where the mix gets cloudy. If you separate the roles, you can make the bass feel stretched, aggressive, and textured without wrecking the bottom end. Now we bring in movement. Automate the filter cutoff. Automate the drive. Automate the volume slightly if needed. You're not just making it louder, you're making it feel like it's expanding through the bar. That's the key idea. A stretched bass should sound like it's changing posture. Maybe it starts darker and smaller, then opens up halfway through the tail. Maybe the harmonics come forward as the note decays. Small moves can do a lot here. A filter sweep from around 90 Hz up to maybe 250 Hz can give the tail a really nice sense of growth. A few dB of drive on the saturator can help the note bloom without turning it into a messy roar. And even a subtle 1 to 3 dB volume swell can help sell the delusion. Next up is dynamics control. Put a glue compressor on the bass bus and use it lightly. We're not crushing it. We're just keeping the stretched tail from getting floppy or uneven. Think small amounts of gain reduction, maybe 1 to 3 dB. That's usually enough to glue the layers together and keep the bass feeling stable under the drums. If the bass has messy tails from resampling, a little gate can help trim things up, but use that carefully. You don't want to choke the life out of the phrase. The whole point is that the note should feel like it's dragging weight through the bar, not being cut off by the machine. Now let's talk sidechain, because in DNB this is where things either lock in beautifully or get destroyed. Don't sidechain like you're mixing a four on the floor house track. Think like a jungle engineer. The bass needs to make room for the kick, yes, but also for the break's low frequency movement and the rhythm of the whole drum bus. Try sidechaining the bass to the kick, or even better, to the drum bus or a dedicated trigger track. Use a gentle release so it breathes with the groove. And here's a very useful trick. Sidechain only the sub layer, and leave some of the character layer moving freely. That way the low end ducks cleanly, but the grit and harmonics still keep the bass present when the drums hit. That gives you pressure without making the bass disappear every time the groove gets busy. Now add some dirt. This is where the old school vibe really starts to show up. Use saturator, roar, or drum bus to bring in harmonic energy. The goal isn't just distortion for its own sake. It's about helping the bass read on smaller speakers and making it feel like it has more attitude. A little drive, a bit of soft clipping if needed, and a controlled amount of harmonic lift can make a huge difference. If you want that authentic rawness, don't be too precious. Some grit often sounds better than a perfectly polished low end, but keep one ear on the fundamental. If the distortion sounds exciting but the root note gets lost, the whole trick falls apart on a big system. That's something to always check. The harmonic layer can be wild, but the actual note still has to land. Now place the bass in the arrangement like it belongs there. This kind of stretched bass works really well in 8-bar and 16-bar sections, especially in drops, switch-ups, or tension-building moments. It's great when the drums are chopped and energetic, because the long bass tail creates contrast. It can answer a snare fill, follow a vocal chop, or lean into a rave stab. Think of it like this. The bass doesn't just support the arrangement, it helps shape the phrasing. A long stretched note can create anticipation, and then a gap or a drop in pitch can make the next hit feel way heavier. And that leads us to the final mix check, mono. Always check the bass in mono. Always. Use utility on the bass bus and collapse it down, then listen to what happens. If the bass falls apart, the stereo content is probably too wide or too facey. If that happens, simplify. Reduce width. Keep the sub centered. Let only the higher character layer have any sense of space, and even then, keep it controlled. Use EQ to clean up anything unnecessary below 25 to 30 Hz, because that stuff just eats headroom. If the bass feels boxy, a gentle cut somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz can help. And if the distortion made it harsh, tame the upper mids a bit. The main thing is this. The bass should feel like it leans against the beat, not like it's fighting it. That's the whole vibe here. Stretching a jungle sub is really about making the note feel longer, heavier, and more emotionally charged, while still leaving room for the break to do its thing. Done right, it gives you that raw, old-school pressure that feels like classic rave energy filtered through modern Ableton control. So for practice, try building a simple two-bar phrase with just a few notes. Freeze it, flatten it, stretch one version, layer a sub and character lane, add saturation, sidechain it lightly, and test it against a chopped break in mono. Then adjust until the bass feels like it's pulling the groove forward instead of sitting on top of it. That's when you know it's working. If you want to push it further, start resampling the best version and chopping the tail into new phrases. That's where the Riedel personality starts to emerge. And honestly, that's often where the most authentic jungle bass ideas come from. Less perfection, more pressure. That's the game.